Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. Our next guests are an organist and a supporter of the arts here to preview weekend concerts and workshops. We have visiting organist and guest artist Jonas Nordwall from Portland, Oregon. Welcome, Jonas.
Pleasure to be here.
It's nice to have you here. And Bruce Simonson, local musician and supporter of the arts. Bruce, it's nice to have you here as well.
Thank you, Scott.
Bruce, why don't you set us up a little bit? How did this all come to be?
Well, Holy Trinity Church is the happy recipient of a donated organ, digital pipe organ, but as a digital organ. Fabulous instrument, local patron of the arts, Tim Fulham, donated it to the church. And in order to get it outfitted for the church, we got the right speakers for it and got it voiced in this particular space. And now we have this fantastic organ here in Juneau that we're very lucky to have Jonas to come up and do our inaugural concert for it.
Okay. And why don't you outline really quick all the opportunities we'll have to hear and participate in organ music?
Well, this weekend, it's important. Tomorrow, Jonas will be playing at the State Office Building at the SOB at noon, the regular concert that DJ Duffy or Alan McKinnon do. But Jonas is going to be doing that for us. And then in the evening, so that's at noon on Friday. And then the evening, tomorrow evening at 7:30, there'll be a classical and other exciting music, actually, at Holy Trinity at 7:30. And then if that's not enough, on Saturday morning, Jonas will be doing a workshop on the organ at Holy Trinity starting at 9:30.
Jonas, they're putting you to work, I see.
I understand that. I look forward to it.
Have you had a chance to see the big organ up in the State Office Building yet?
Oh, yes. I've known Alan McKinnon for a long time and followed the project when it was actually from the inception of it.
All right.
And I knew the company in Seattle that did the rebuild. And you know, you're very fortunate to have it, and it's installed. I mean, architecturally, it blends with the room. It sounds good in the room.
Good deal. Well, we'll look forward to that tomorrow at noon. Tell us about what keeps you busy down in Portland.
Well, for a number of years, I spent 32 years with Rogers Organ Company as the real title was product marketing manager. And what the job entitled was doing some playing, but also it was a communications job where you tried to keep administration, engineering, manufacturing, and marketing communicating. And I had a wonderful time there, and then I left there after the 32 years, and then I was given an offer to do whatever I wanted with the Allen Organ Company. And, of course, we're a small business, and everybody knows everybody. And it's like the day I walked out of Rogers, the next morning I had a phone call from the president of the Allen Organ Company. You want to move back here? And I said, you know, I like your products a lot, but I don't want to live in the snow belt because they're right north of Philly up there. And and then I've been at my church job now. I've been there 48 years, and it's been obviously a good situation. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have hung out. And I've got to stay at least 3 more years and 2 days to break a previous record by another organist in Portland.
All right. So you brought one of your CDs with you, and I have track 17 queued up. Can you set us up? What should we listen for in this?
Okay. One of the other things I was involved with back in the late 60s and 70s, there was quite a little craze that went on putting theater pipe organs in pizza parlors. It started in the Bay Area, and it came up the coast, and we had our operation called the Organ Grinder of Portland. And we did a second one over in Denver about 6-7 years later. And in addition to my day job, I was playing about 3 to 4 nights a week, maybe just 3 or 4 hours. But it was a wonderful way to get paid for practicing, you know.
Sure.
Had a totally different style of music, of course, than the classical of the church stuff. So.
All right. Should we take a listen?
Sure.
All right. What's it called?
It's the... Actually, the theme music from the Wrath of Khan movie, the Jim Horner score. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah, it gets pretty big towards the end. So just so you know. Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, we're listening to the music of Jonas Nordwall. Jonas, describe for our listeners what all we're listening to right now.
Okay, this is a theater organ. It was in the Organ Grinder restaurant in Denver, Colorado. And I had previously mentioned we had two operations, one in Portland and one in Denver. And they were large instruments. The only thing that was larger during that time was the organ at Radio City Music Hall. And we probably, on an annual basis, put at least through 1 million people. Portland operation sat about 350, Denver sat about 650. And the instruments were played 7 days a week. And like I said, it was a phenomenon of the time and lasted well into the 90s.
How the organs we're hearing now, how do they compare to the one in the state office building?
Okay, in the state office building, there's about 7 or 8 sets of pipes, and Denver was 37, Portland was 48. Okay. And the chambers were made out of glass, so there's a lot of things we had to do differently. It's like for low frequency, we had to have just a lot more horsepower in that range.
Here's a little bit of it. All right. So, Bruce, I know you're a musician, and you said aspiring organist?
Well, now that there's an organ for us to play in at Holy Trinity, it's getting the feet to do what the feet do when organists do the feet thing. It's an amazing feat, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and Jonas has amazing feet, too. I don't know if you heard it in that piece, but that's just one player playing all that music on an organ. It's amazing, the talent that Jonas has. We're really lucky to have him here.
Yeah, talk about multitasking, right?
Yeah. Well, the hardest thing, actually, is trying not to fall off the bench, because we're the only instrumentalist that we don't play with our feet in a fixed position. And so in order to maintain, you know, composure, you have to develop your back and your stomach muscles to sit. And also it helps if you're a certain height. I've had friends who have been much shorter than I am. And that is more of a challenge, because if they're moving up and down the pedal board, because it's about a 4-foot distance, they're kind of hopping on the bench. And luckily, I don't have to do that. So,
okay, so there's the noontime concert tomorrow at the State Office Building, the Friday night concert at Holy Trinity at 7:30, and then there's a workshop on Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bruce,
mm-hmm.
Who should come to that?
To the workshop?
Yeah.
Well, you know, anybody who's interested in seeing how these organs work, or if you're already adept at it, it's a chance to meet Jonas and get some tips, I guess. Mainly, he's going to talk about the instrument. So what I'm hoping will happen, and I've contacted my pianist friends in town who give piano lessons, is to encourage anyone who's studied a little bit of piano and maybe wants to come and actually try out a brief piano piece that they're comfortable with. It's an idea that we might be able to have time to have people play and actually hear what it sounds like when you actually turn a full organ loose on your piano music. That's pretty fun. So students and adults, yeah. And all of these events are free, so just it's good to know that.
All right, and we'll detail those times and locations here again in a minute. Jonas, this may be an obvious question, but how do you describe the difference between piano playing and organ playing?
Well, it's an interesting question, because on the piano you have certain things that you can accomplish that you don't do on an organ. One of them is, of course, you can have individual notes at different dynamic levels. On the organ, if we have to do that, we have to figure out how to get a hand up on a different keyboard where you have, you know, different sounds to do that. The other thing on a piano, once you strike the notes, and even if you use the sustain pedal, the sound does die away. On an organ, as long as you're making contact, and it doesn't matter if it's a pipe organ or a digital instrument, you have constant sound. So it makes you use different types of techniques from a musical perspective. And it's not something you learn overnight, I can tell you that.
The other day, I had a group of flute players here on the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were so dedicated to the flute, and they're wonderful musicians. You've spent a life sort of dedicated to the organ. Mm-hmm. Is there something about the instrument that attracted you early on?
Oh, yeah, very definitely. In fact, the irony of it It wasn't a church organ that caught my attention because I started out playing the accordion when I was four. And, of course, it was during the Lawrence Welk years and a Scandinavian background too. So, you know, everybody does that. And a local skating rink in Portland at Oaks Park transplanted an organ from a theater. And it was hung in the center of the skating floor. And once you heard that thing, I mean, with the power and everything else, you're going, buy accordion. But I was fortunate enough to take opportunities that were given to me. And when I was about 11 years old, one of our neighbors took on a franchise for the Cond Organ Company. And on Saturday mornings, he would let me come down. And, you know, I had heard different recordings of different organists, and I was trying to figure out how they did their thing. And finally, they put me with a classical organ teacher, and then I had to take piano if I wanted to take organ. And I've been very fortunate in my lifetime to work with some pretty amazing people. My college professor was the principal pianist and organist for 20th Century Fox Studios from 1935 till 1950 when he got tired of it and moved to Portland. And then after that, I worked with a gentleman in Canada by the name of Fred Gagan, who was their premier organist. And then when I was with the Rogers Company, the big-name organist of the U.S., of course, was Virgil Fox. And we had built an organ for him to tour with for community concerts. And he was in the plant every so often, so he would just haul me into a practice room. Okay, show me what you're doing. And then also there was another organist by the name of Richard Elsasser, who was one of his competitors from the 50s and 60s. And through the affiliation with Kahn, every time Dick used to come to town, I'd have lessons with him. And it just kind of went on and on, you know, interacting with major names. And I have to say, being in the business I was in, it was an opportunity to interact with probably all the major players, at least of the latter 20th century.
Okay. So that's the voice of Jonas Nordwall. He's our guest artist and organist up from Portland. You have three chances to hang out with him and listen to his music. Remind us of those, Bruce, please.
Yes, the Friday noon concert at the State Office Building. Jonas will be there playing the Kimball Pipe Organ there for an hour or so. And then in the evening, Friday evening at 7:30 at Holy Trinity Church. 7:30 will be a full concert there.
Okay.
And then Saturday morning at 9:30, there will be a workshop at Holy Trinity Church.
All right. And Jonas, before we let you go, thinking about that young person playing the accordion in the ice rink or near the ice rink somewhere here in Juneau, what would your advice be to an aspiring organist?
Do it for the love, not for your occupation. Times have changed so greatly. And, you know, when I was that age, there were 14 organ manufacturers in the United States, and they all had jobs for demonstrators just at the manufacturing level and then distribution, retail, and those opportunities aren't there. And even in the church music world, there's fewer opportunities. But if you love the instrument and you can make it work, you know, so you can do it maybe as a part-time thing, because that's what I tell my students too. You know, if you got to get a real job and then it's playtime after that with the instrument. So,
and Bruce, between the new organ at Holy Trinity and the State Office Building, there might be some opportunities.
Yep. We're looking forward to I'm not sure exactly what you mean, but we will have concerts hopefully coming forward. And certainly the State Office Building, J. Allen McKinnon plays there every Friday along with DJ Duffy. And just a wonderful opportunity to have Jonas here this Friday. And then, yeah.
Sounds good. If we wanted to learn more or see this online somewhere, is there a place we can go?
Actually, the Holy Trinity website, just look up Holy Trinity Juneau, you'll get there. And there'll be information about this and other events too.
All right. Sure. Bruce Simonson, it's been great having you on the show as well. Jonas, will you set us up for the song we're going to go out on?
Okay. This is off a CD we did down at my church, First United Methodist in Portland. And it was a compilation of things basically with the organ and choir. And then they said, we want to have one big number at the end, because one of the things that has happened at that church for close to 80, 90 years, the congregation does not leave until the postlude's over. And in one way, it's a blessing. In another way, my God, they're sitting there, they're hearing every note. And this is a take. This is the J.S. Bach version of Now Thank We All Our God. And it was arranged by Virgil Fox. And the notable thing about this, the original is in the key of G. Virgil moved it to the key of C, so the last note plays the lowest pipes of the organ. He wanted to have his earthquake.
Yeah. Here we go. Would it be correct to say this is the postlude of our interview?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Here you go. Thank you both so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you.